From the Utah School Counselors Association, this is The Sounding Board, where school counselors share ideas. I'm Nate Webb, school counselor, USCA board member, and every week I'll be speaking with different counselors and professionals that will be giving us valuable information in our counseling world. We cannot wait for you to hear these ideas. Let's get to it. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to The Sounding Board from the Utah School Counselors Association. And this is, yet again, another segment of one of my favorite segments ever each month, starting little, ending big, with our wonderful elementary school counselors, Elise Hansen and Gina James. Welcome, ladies, to the show. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good. Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. I am not in my basement anymore. As you guys can see, you ladies, you listeners, means no difference to you. But I'm usually in my dark dungeon of a basement, but we rearranged stuff. So I have windows now and light. Nice. It's great.
Woohoo, you're moving up.
I know. Feels nice. So we're in what? We're in March now, midway through March. Have you guys started third quarter yet at your schools?
We start fourth. Today.
Today is the start of fourth quarter now. So third quarter ended. Fourth quarter is a blaze. One more quarter left. This is running across that finish line. This is the time of year when it's like, oh my gosh, February. We felt every 29 of those days, longest month of the year. And we're getting ready to plow through the rest of the school year now. Today we're talking about crisis intervention at the school counselor level, at the elementary school level. We hear a lot about crisis intervention at kind of your secondary levels, your middle school levels, your high school levels, your crisis intervention team, all that stuff. Cause you hear about that stereotypically happening a lot at the high school level. But you don't hear it as much at the elementary school level. And in your guys' experience as counselors, you've run into that. You're currently running into that actually right now. So let's talk about that a little bit.
So, you know, on the elementary level with crisis response, luckily we have a lot of other people on our teams that can help out, whether it's the middle school and high school counselors coming in. We have social workers and school psychologists, and sometimes we team up with other school districts to help out when we've had a crisis in our schools, a crisis that affects multiple students. Sometimes we have crisis response where it might just be us. It just affects maybe a family, but I think we're talking about when it affects a whole school.
Yeah. When do you assemble a crisis response team? Like, is it just in the event of a death? Like what constitutes a crisis enough to, you know, have some sort of crisis response?
Well, I think every crisis is going to be a little bit different. But I think if you're ever feeling the slightest bit overwhelmed, you reach out to a team. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what's great about school counseling is you're never alone. You always have a group of people that are willing and there to help you. And so I think it's important that you know, that you do reach out. And of course, it doesn't even have to be a crisis. It's anything that you're dealing with. If you just feel like, hey, I could use some extra support here, reach out. There are people there for you.
Yeah. Yeah. With crisis response, I know that we are seeing more and more mental health issues within kids younger and younger and younger. And not just like the kids, but also families. And, you know, it affects kids at a young age. And so when we have crisis response at an elementary school, what are some of the ways you guys try and, I don't know, help the kids without, I don't know, making it worse? Because kids have questions. Kids can pry and like kids can want to know things. And so how does a crisis response team help go in and help these kids that might be struggling without compounding the problem, without talking about it too much or whatever it might be?
Well, when kids make up extra stories, they can add to it in a pretty quick hurry. But Elise was just dealing with one, so I'm going to let you take that, Elise.
You probably saw it in the news. We had a car bus accident, and and so we were dealing with the crisis for the students. Of course, the students that were on the bus, but where it was in the news, and some witnessed it being in the car with the parents on the way home from school, or those kinds of things, or concerned about their friends that were on the bus. And so the first thing we did, well, they took care of crisis response that afternoon after the accident. And then that morning we brought a team in, and the kids, you know, you like to keep structure. So as the kids were coming to school, we all just went around and talked with the groups of kids. And I think the main thing then was to dispel rumors. Of course, lots of rumors get started. And I think that's important to dispel rumors. Like Gina said, stories get started. And then when they went to school, then an announcement, the teachers all had an announcement that they were to give to their students. And of course, we gathered the students that had been on the bus, and then we watched for students that were having trouble. And then basically work through it. If you're familiar with the Healing Our Schools After a Loss, that's a manual that the Utah State Board of Education just put out. Kathy Davis is a wonderful resource, and she came last week. We just happened to have training scheduled with her, and she came and did some more training with our student support team and all of our administrators so that we could be as prepared as possible for when there is a crisis.
Now, with this accident, were there children at the school who died from that accident?
No children were harmed.
No children were harmed. Were
well, I they you know some they had bruises and things like that.
Right, but no fatalities, no major hospitalizations.
And nothing serious, yeah.
I gotcha. Was it a fatal accident on the other side?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's really traumatic for kids.
Yeah.
That could be really scary. And for adults too.
And the whole community.
Everybody.
Yeah, the whole community it affects. And it was amazing how many people came together and helped out and supported the school.
Man, and everyone involved. How can I know that what is appropriate information to give out when something like that happens? Because I know
the facts.
It can be so, I mean, some like if so if people ask like did someone die, you can just say yes.
Yeah. Well, you have different roles on the team, and sometimes those roles change depending on the situation. Mm-hmm. You know, you're familiar with wrestling, and you have an opportunity to tap out. And if you're too close to the crisis, then you're going to tap out, right? Because you've got to be able to help the students. But you have these different roles. And so as a school district, you're going to want to define those roles that you have. And then each person comes in and takes care of whatever their role is. And sometimes we go into different roles depending on what the need is of the school. You prepare as much as you can, but sometimes it's hard to know exactly until you get to the school and see how many students it affected. We've had situations, a few years ago, we had a student that got ill and died, and it was quite unexpected. And we brought in the crisis team, but then we realized it was basically only that grade that was aware of what was happening. And so we were able to keep it contained to just that grade. And I think the grade above.
Gotcha. It's, go for it.
I was just going to say, and in situations like what at least dealt with last week, your school district is going to do most of the communication.
Right.
It really doesn't come down to you most often. You know, the school district will handle that part of it, which is kind of nice because then you don't have to worry about it.
What are some of the roles that you've seen on a crisis response team? I know sometimes, you know, there's fairly new crisis response teams who aren't quite sure, you know, what roles should be happening besides we need to send 5 warm bodies to the school to check in on these kids. And everyone's kind of feel like they're doing the same thing. What are some of the roles that you guys have seen on your crisis response teams, the specific responsibilities across different people?
Well, our district has a crisis team. And so if it involves elementary, I'm on that crisis team and I'm always called out. Mm-hmm. I do respond to some secondary, but my focus for the most part is usually elementary. So everybody kind of fills a role, you know, based on where their expertise is.
Right. And so, like, let's say there's a crisis at elementary school, so you're over that, and so you'd be part of that crisis response team. When you come in, are you all basically doing triage, just checking in with like all the different school kids at the same at the school, at the classrooms? What does that entail?
The first thing you come in, you're the support system of the school. And so the first thing you do when you come in is just meet with the admin and see where they're at and what their needs are.
Okay.
You don't come in and try to take over the crisis by any means.
Right.
You're just there to support them. And so, you know, you assess the whole thing first and see what do they need, because you don't want to give them more than they need, but you also want to give them what they need. Does that make sense?
So yeah.
It has to start with that.
So check in with the admin first, get a pulse for the situation, see what they need, and then move from there. So you're just there as added supports for to see
exactly
what they need. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. And then how do you get back to a place of normalcy? Like, how long is a crisis response team there? And like, you know, once, how can we do you just naturally let things get back to their groove and, you know, be the space there for kids that need it?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. I mean, sometimes it's a day or two, you know, sometimes it's a little longer. In most cases, within the first day, you could then hand it back to the school themselves.
A lot of times it's just till lunch. It's just in the morning. You want to have the kids be able to get back to their normal schedule, to routine, but it just depends on the crisis, you know. Is it something that's going to, like Gina said, affect a full day or a couple of days, or is it something that can be taken care of just within the morning?
Yeah. I do want to add, and especially for those that are listening that might have a crisis that involves suicide, while we do want to talk about the facts with the kids, if kids ask, how did they do it or why did they do it? It is not appropriate to talk about the means or how they did it, why they did it, things like that. The fact is that they died by suicide, and that's the only facts that they need to know around the death itself. A few years ago, we had a couple suicides in Tooele area. We had one of a young kid at a charter school, and then we had one at the alternate high school. And that was probably the most frequently asked question with kids that were struggling coming to my office, where how'd they do it? I'm like, that's not really important right now. You know, the fact is they're gone, and knowing how they went isn't going to change the fact that they are gone. And that
sucks.
Well,
and I think you try to step over that. You just say, you know, that's really not what's important. What's important right now is, what are we going to do to help support this family?
Yeah.
We're going to help support each other to make sure we can do this. So you just step over it.
Yeah.
You know, you just gently step over it and move forward and help them move forward, because you can get stuck in that spot for a long time.
Kids can really ruminate in that spot. And then also if people, I don't know, glorify the person who has passed a little too much. You know, we want to remember them for this, remember them for that, talk about it so often. Then you see other kids that might copycat, you know, suicide ideation stuff because of the love and attention and other things that specific person got. And so when response teams come in to talk about things with kids and help them work through things, it's also important to, like you said, help them gently step over some of these issues that might become more problematic if we get stuck too much on those details.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. So yeah, it can be heavy. It can be heavy being on a crisis response team. How do you guys, I don't know, how have you guys not let it consume you in those heavy spots?
Isn't it interesting how we get into those situations and we're able to separate ourselves from that in a certain way, so that we can be a helper, compartmentalize. Maybe that's a better term for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the thing that I dread in this job, but yet I found that it's very rewarding to be able to have something to do to help. When we hear about these tragedies, we always want to help in some way. And in our positions, we're able to go in there and we have a way to help. And that's helped me to know that, okay, I'm able to go and help in this situation.
And our mere presence can sometimes be the comfort that kids need. Last year, almost to the date, we had a young man. He was a freshman. He was actually in my caseload. He fell through the ice at a local reservoir and he didn't make it. Him and his buddy both fell through and his buddy came out and he didn't. Then they found him. And the whole school was rocked because this kid was a stellar, stellar student, athlete, that just everything affected everyone. He hung out with the losers. He played games with the winners and just like everyone was affected. And so a lot of kids who didn't even want to come in and talk. And so us counselors, we were just roaming the halls because a lot of kids, they were, you know, out by their locker, just sitting against the wall, silently crying and stuff like that. And I know that for a lot of kids, I didn't have to say anything. I just went up to them and said, "Hey, I'm sorry." Gave them a little side hug, sat with them for a little while. And I got so many, you know, comments of, "Thanks so much for just being there with me. That meant a lot." And like, just your mere presence. You don't need, I know a lot of times we as counselors, we worry about what are we going to say? Are we going to say, be able to say the right things to help these kids through these things, whether they come into your office, whether you find them in the halls, especially during crisis response. And a lot of the times your mere presence, just being there, sitting with them, being there with them, that is going to make a huge, huge difference.
Yep. You're exactly right.
Well, this was a heavy-ish episode, but it's something that we do need to talk about from time to time because crises do happen, and that is part of our job as counselors to help people. We are in the thick of it. We are on the front battlefields with these kids, and when stuff goes down, we're there to help them out. Any closing thoughts from you guys as we close out this episode?
I would say get on and just Google Healing Our Schools After a Loss, and that document from USBE will pop up. And if you ever have any questions, Kathy Davis really is a wonderful resource.
Yeah. And maybe in some future episodes, I can go through that entire document. And that'd be a good thing to go through. So, and you can just Google,
get Kathy on.
Yeah. And you can just Google USBE Healing Your Schools After a Loss, and it'll pop right up. It's a document. It's great. Authored by Kathy Davis, right?
And she had some other people that helped her with it. She had a great team. And it also has a lot of resources that you can just click on. So you can get a hard copy from her. But what's really nice about the electronic is it's there with you no matter where you are. You don't have to go search for it and find it at your school. You can just find it electronically. Right. And then you can click on those links and it has great resources and information on those links.
Yeah. So there you go, guys. Go check that out. And if you have any questions, you can always reach out to us as well. We as counselors are always here to help each other. That's the whole point of the Utah School Counselors Association, is to help connect counselors with each other so we can help support each other. So thank you, ladies, for helping me today talking about this heavy issue. And thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode of The Sounding Board and this segment of Starting Little, Ending Big from the Utah School Counselors Association. Hope you all have a wonderful day, and we'll see you on the next one. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of The Sounding Board. Email The Sounding Board at utschoolcounselor.org to send us your questions and ideas. If you like our podcast, please rate and review our show. It helps other school counselors to find us. Links and additional information for any references from today's episode are in our show notes. Check out our website at utschoolcounselor.org, where you can listen to past podcast episodes, register for any of our professional development opportunities, and become a member of the Utah School Counselors Association. USCA members also receive a bi-monthly newsletter to stay up to date on current Utah school counseling news, events, and issues. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Utah School Counselor and on Twitter at USCA Tweets. The mission of the Utah School Counselors Association is to support professional school counselors in their work for students through advocacy, professional development, recognition, and support. This podcast would not be possible without the support of our members. We'll have more ideas to share with you next week. Let's go!